Hello, everybody. This week's parasha is Parshas Vayelech, and in Parak Laman Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's his last days. He's telling Yeshua he's taking over, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, "Vayikra Moshe Yeshua, Vayomer Elov." Moshe calls Yeshua and he tells him, "Chazak v'yematz, strengthen yourself. Ki ata tovoi es ha'am hazeh, you're going to bring this nation into Eretz Yisrael." Now Rashi there points out something interesting. If you look later in Pasuk Chav Gimel, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to start appointing Yeshua, here in Pasuk Zion, it seems like it's more Moshe Rabbeinu on his own handing it over to Yeshua, where in Pasuk Chav Gimel, it's Hashem telling Moshe to do the handoff. The language is a little different. Instead of saying Tavoy, you will bring, it's Tavi. Now, what's the difference in Tavoy and Tavi? So Rashi explains Tavoy means you will come along with. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, look, you know, you, Yeshua, you're young. So you're going to have the kingdom, the elders, all the people who worked with me, they're going to work with you. And together, you're going to bring this nation into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have the help of the elders of Klal Yisrael. Later, in Pasuk of Gimel, when it says Tavi, there, says Rashi, that's a language of singular. You alone, Yeshua, you're going to be the one bringing in this nation into Eretz Yisrael. And says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a very strong language. Hashem said, it's got to be you alone. And whoever doesn't listen to you, take a stick and hit them over the head, force them to listen to you, because Dabar Echad Ladar, there's only one leader, one speaker for a generation, and not two Dabar. You can't have two different opinions. You have to have one unified leader. He leads, no groups of people listening, too many opinions, it's going to make a mess. So, there's a few questions on this Rashi. First of all, obviously, why would Moshe Rabbeinu say something which ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to argue on? And second of all, in general, what's this idea? Should he have this kingdom with him? Should he not have his kingdom with him? So, there's different explanations given in the Mefarshim. I saw in the Sefer Drash Moshe and also in the Sefer Meshulchan Gevaya, in the name of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, they say the following explanation. They say that really, both are true. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yeshua, you have to listen and ask the elders for advice. You can't just do this alone. You always have to ask other people for their advice or their opinion. You have to hear all different sides of the arguments. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to have to make the final decision, and it's going to only be one decision and one person's opinion, which is going to come out at the end. But there has to be done with first consulting the elders, and then ultimately you decide what the right way is, and you force your way. That's the Ripshat. The Ripshat is that both are true. There's a kingdom are involved, but ultimately it has to be Yeshua who makes the final call, because you need to have one leader. But I saw an interesting shot from the Brisker Rav, and I believe the Meshech Chacham is saying a similar idea, which is as follows. That really, there's two types of leaders in Klal Yisrael. There's what's known as the Av Bezdin, the head of the Bezdin of Sanhedrin. And then there's the idea of a melech, of a king. So they're fundamentally different. The Av Bezdin, he rules with the power of Bezdin. He has the whole court of Sanhedrin, and he's almost like the chief justice. But ultimately, his power is only as strong as he's representing the court and the majority opinion of the court. Av Bezdin is, so to speak, dependent on the psak of Bezdin, what Bezdin decides to be the halacha. The Av Bezdin is appointed by the previous Bezdin. You don't need a Navi to make an Av Bezdin. Whoever the previous Bezdin decides is going to make the new Av Bezdin, okay, he's in charge of the Bezdin. Moshe Rabbeinu originally, when he appointed Yeshua in the beginning of the parasha, he was making him the next chief of Bezdin. And therefore he said, you're going to have to be contained to the rules of the court of Sanhedrin, which is, you're going to listen to this kingdom, whatever the majority rules, you're going to have to go with that. You're going to be in charge of it. You're going to kind of decide what things should be taken into account, what not. But ultimately, it's the ruling of Bezdin. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a nevuah. He gave him a prophecy that Yeshua is now going to be the king. He's going to have the role of a melech. A melech, a king, A, does not need the power of Bezdin. He can go, he has, so to speak, extraneous powers. He can go and kill somebody simply because the guy rebelled against the king. He doesn't have to fit based on the rules of regular Torah rules of who gets killed. And more than that, the king rules alone. The king is entrusted with the power to make the right decisions. He doesn't need the view of Bezdin to agree with him. And therefore, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yeshua the status of a king, of a melech on Klal Yisrael, therefore is no longer relevant the whole idea of this kingdom involved. Yeshua was now a ruler in a sense of a king, and therefore he could rule alone on whatever he decided was going to be the rule. That two different explanations on the two different versions of what Rashi is bringing out of, is Yeshua going to be subject to Bezdin, part of Sanhedrin, or ultimately is Yeshua going to lead like Moshe Rabbeinu did, and is a leader who stands alone. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him ultimately to do. In Pasuk Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Jewish people with the mitzvah of Hakel, that at the end of every Shemitah cycle, the beginning of the 8th year, Klal Yisrael would come up to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, and the king would read to them certain parts of Sefer Dvarim. It would be a whole ingathering of Klal Yisrael, and it would, so to speak, be re-infused with the halachas of the Torah, the certain chosen pieces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they should read. What's interesting, though, is that when the Torah says the mitzvah, it says, Miketz Sheva Shanim, at the end of 7 years, B'mayid, on the holiday on Sukkos, Shnas HaShemitah, during the year of Shemitah. Now, the Gemara tells us in Saita and other places, and it means the year after Shemitah. It's really the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle. So the question is, why does the Torah call it the Shnas HaShemitah, the year of Shemitah, if it's really the next year? So Mesh Chachma explains as follows. He says that the idea of Hakel is very much related to Shemitah. Shemitah, as we understand, it was at the end of a 6-year cycle of working the ground, building up your farms. A person was commanded to take a 1-year break. His involvement in the physical world was limited. He was basically spent the whole year learning and growing spiritually, and his involvement on his field, he couldn't do much. He was basically solely focused on his spiritual growth. Now, that's first of all the farmers, but even the businessmen, because we know that this, during the 7th year, all loans were forgiven. That's why we wrote a Prosbul this year. So since loans are forgiven, commerce also took a big, big break because people weren't extending loans. Loans are being forgiven. No one's paying back on loans. There was an overall halt on engagement in physical, so to speak, life, and everyone was focused on spiritual pursuits. Now they're going into the first year of the new Shemitah cycle. Everyone's finally getting back to work. Everyone's getting back involved in their jobs and their fields. And there's a certain, you know, rush to get back to normal life and normal work. And everyone's very excited. Says the Torah, we have to take a little break. One last moment, the Hakel, where we take the lessons we've learned from the Shemitah cycle. We take the lessons we learned over this past year, Shemitah, and we remember them and we try to implement them so that when we go into this new year of regular life, so to speak, of engagement in the physical world, we don't just do it the same as we did before. We take the lessons we learned from Shemitah and we learn how to implement them. That's what Hakel was about. Hakel was about making the Shemitah count. That's why the Torah specifically says that it's B'Shnas HaShemitah, it's in the year of Shemitah, because this is really kind of the grand finale, the taking home the message of Shemitah and implementing it in the new 6-year cycle of work. Later in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Klal Yisrael is told that by Hakel, it's not just the men who come, it's not just the women. Rather, says the Pasuk, it's Ha'anoshim, the men, Ha'anoshim, the women, V'Hataf, and even the children. Now, the Gemara Chagiga asks the obvious question. The men and women, that makes sense. They're going to come, they're going to learn, they're going to hear, they're going to gain from the experience. But what's the point of bringing the kids? So you could say, look, if the men are there, the women are there, who's going to watch the kids? But the Torah seems to be giving an explicit mitzvah to bring the kids. So the Gemara in Chagiga says that you're right. The reason why we're commanded to bring the kids is to give schar, to give reward for those who bring them. But the Mepharshim explain, Das Torah, the Meshech Chachma, they explain what the Gemara means as follows. That we know the Yerushalmi tells us that there was a great rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua, and one of the other Tanoim said that he remembers Rabbi Yeshua's mother used to bring his crib, his baby carriage, to the Beis Medrash and put it outside by the window there so he could listen and hear the words of Torah even when he was a baby, even when he wouldn't understand anything, because simply by osmosis, by being next to the Beis Medrash, the Kedusha went in and it changed the child and it made him grow to be a big Talmid Chacham. And Tosfos and Chagiga says that's actually pshat in the minig, why we let kids come to shul. Technically, kids come, they disturb, they run around. But Tosfos says that the reason is this idea, because the kids just being around a place of holiness, they absorb it, it comes into them, it becomes a part of them. And something we have to think about, the Torah is telling us the power of the environment we put our kids in, that both for good and, God forbid, for bad. If we let our kids hang around the wrong places, who knows what can go into them? And if we take the effort to bring them to good places, to have them places where there is Kedusha, there is learning, we never know how far-reaching that imprint can make and what kind of difference it can make in a kid growing older. Later in the parasha, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish Klal Yisrael, God forbid, if they don't listen. And it says that after Klal Yisrael is found by the Ra'is, Rabbis, and Saris, all the bad things happen to them. V'amar b'yayim ahu, and the person was saying that day, Haloi ki'ein le'kai b'kirbi. It's because I have no Hashem in my midst, Mitzauni Harois Elive, been found by all these bad things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Vanoichi Hastir Astir Panai Bayemahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to hide myself even more at that day. And the question that the Ramban asks, and everyone else asks, seemingly, this person is doing tshuva. He's saying, the reason why all this bad has befallen me is because ain't a lake habakir, there's no God amongst me. So why is there HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, okay, I'm going to hide my face even more? So two very different pshatim I found in the Mefarshim. The Chassidish pshat, the Sfasem Eskluz, and the Rabbanim Pishischa, they say that the reason why he gets punished is because the biggest sin a Jew could do is to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with me. So the reason why he's getting punished is because specifically because he said, Ein Aleka Bekirbi. When a Jew says Hashem's not with him, that's when Hashem's going to punish him the most. Every Jew has to always believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with him, even in the darkest of times. That's a Chassidish take on it. The more literature version, Mishnah Sabaran says, the name of Chasm Sefer, is the Pasuk says a little bit after that, is Kipono El Elekim Achirim, because they turned towards other gods. And Chasm Sefer explains what it means as follows, is that there's different ways to do tshuva. A person can do tshuva on the actual sin, but he doesn't get to the root of the problem. He doesn't get to the bad midas and to the bad beliefs that are really the cause that brought him to the sin itself. And therefore, he's kind of hacking at the symptoms, but he's never hacking at the root of the illness. And therefore, the tshuva doesn't really work so well. Because it's going to happen again. Until a person stops and thinks and gets to the root of the problem, the tshuva doesn't have its full effect. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, until they get the tshuva to the point where they stop turning towards other gods, they don't have an interest in the other gods, they're completely uprooted the actual core illness, till then the tshuva is not really taking effect. And something you have to keep in mind is when we work on trying to become better and going forward for the new year, is that let's try to figure out what's the root cause behind what we're doing. If a person speaks Lashon Hara, is it because they can't control themselves speaking Lashon Hara? Or is it because at their root, they're very jealous of other people, they're not happy in their own lives, and they have a need to go speak Lashon Hara? So maybe it makes sense to spend more time working on the root problem, and then thereby hopefully avoiding all the issues that come out of there. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.